Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody there?
Time is never time at all.
You can never ever leave without leaving a piece of you.
And our lives forever changed.
We will never be the same. The more you change, the less you feel. Believe, believe in me. Believe, believe that life can change, that you're not stuck in vain. We're not the same, we're different tonight, 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 so bright, tonight, tonight. And you know you're never sure, but you're sure you could be right if you held yourself to life. And the embers never fade in your city by the lake, the place where you were born. Believe, believe in me. Believe, believe, the resolute urgency of now. If you believe, there's not a chance tonight, 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 it's so bright. Tonight, tonight, we'll crucify the insincere tonight. We'll make things right, we'll feel it all tonight. We'll find a way to offer up the night tonight. The indescribable moments of your life tonight. The impossible is possible tonight. Believe in me as I believe in you tonight, 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 tonight.
Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Lee of the Team of Voices Radio, and you just heard the song Tonight, Tonight, covered by A.P. Taylor, and the song is by the Smashing Pumpkins, an American alternative rock band from Chicago, formed in 1988. The song Tonight, Tonight is an acoustic version. and it was on a B-side of a single and on a triple version of Melancholy. There's something going on with the audio, but I think that AP did an amazing job, and I thank him very much for sending in our intro. Fantastic job, and I'm stressed in a moment. I'm sorry. I just don't know what's happening to the audio. But onward and upward, I will continue to say that we are part of a poetry group, chat group, called A Team of Voices, and we are part of allpoetry.com, which is one of the biggest poetry sites out there, and they have free memberships. If you join or are already a member, if you click on the groups tab, you will find us listed there, A Team of Voices. If you knock on the door, I'll meet you there. And tonight, I'm very excited to be here with Mark Andrew J. Terry. Year after year, from my first year on the poetry site, Mark has put up a mega production for the Winter Park Paintout. He has us all waiting year after year for the next one. He does a remarkable job, and it's an honor to get to host with him and feature the poems from this magnificent contest. And I am going to let him tell us all about that. Give me 1 second, though, because I have area code 703. Let me bring them in with us. Hello, area code 703. Who am I speaking to?
Hello, this is Tom Burson.
Well, hello, and congratulations on your winner. Just sit tight for a moment, and I'm going to let Mark tell everyone what all the excitement is about, and then we'll have you kick off the first poem of the night. And how's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Mark, please tell us about
you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me, Deb. This is the second year I've done this with you, I think, and it's going to be really fun. What's really great is to be able to hear the voices behind the words of the poetry. You know, we so often read and we imagine in our mind what these poets who write these words sound like, but this we get to actually hear, so I'm excited for that. The Alvin Flajic Museum and Sculpture Gardens is located in Winter Park, Florida, and I've been involved with it for many, many, many years on the board and in various ways. It is, if you come to Florida and you come to Winter Park in Orlando, and you want to find a beautiful, serene place to be, it is one of only two museums that are artist studio homes that you can tour. And it's located on beautiful Lake Osceola. It's a sculpture garden as well as a museum with, so we have revolving exhibits, et cetera. This event that I put on every year, the Winter Park Paint Out International Poetry Contest, is also partnered with the Kerouac Project, which is in Orlando, very close. And it is an organization that invites top to mid-career ranked authors to come and spend a month, actually it's a little more than a month, in Orlando, and actually live in the house where Jack Kerouac worked. And I believe it was, he wrote Dharma Buns at Bums there. So, it's a wonderful organization, and so they both the museum and the Kerouac Project are sponsors of this Winter Park Paint Out Poetry Competition. And the Paint Out is a event where the museum invites 25, 26 of the top plein air painters around the country to come and visit Winter Park for a week, bring their paints. We house them in these beautiful homes that are right along in Winter Park, and they share their paintings in the museum, where patrons come and purchase them. And it's a wonderful fundraiser 50% of the money goes to the artist and 50% goes to the museum. So I think that pretty much tells you what this was all about. Would you say that's right, Deb?
Yes, sir, I would.
Okay.
That was quite fun. I love it, and it's filled with information. And to anyone in earshot who is also has access to the topic board, there's a link there that'll take you directly to the museum, and you can look around. And there's a beautiful parrot that flies through a scene or two there. I think I wrote about him. But there's some fascinating information and some of the beautiful scenery. And, wow, I didn't know that you put them up, and it was it's even bigger of a to-do now than I thought, because, like, they're treated like royalty, and that's fantastic. And the artists that participate, the stuff they produce is always so inspiring that it's got to be really hard to be one of the judges, because the poems are, like, mind-blowing.
Every year I invite a guest judge and three AP judges to judge the poetry contest. And this year's guest judge was the poet laureate of Volusia County, Florida, M.B. McClatchy. She's an educator, and she just has released a new book titled The Beginner's Mind, and it's a fascinating read about it. It really relates to, I think many of us can count on one hand, moments in your life where everything changes. And for her, it was the third grade and a teacher who just approached teaching in a whole different way and opened up MB's eyes to creativity, and it became a lifelong passion for her. So I can talk that, support that book more. It's a great book.
It sounds like you were impressed by it. That's really awesome. Okay, and two things I wanted to let you know, that one of the poets that was awarded a medal tonight is sitting in the room at the moment, and one is in the room with us right now. I don't know if you've ever met his voice before, but this is one of the winners of an honorable mention award, and the poet's name is Thomas B.
Oh, yeah. I've been on all poetry forever.
Yeah, I it's good to hear your voice, Tom.
It's always so amazing to put a voice with the name. I think this is the first time I'm hearing you as well. And, again, congratulations on your award. Well-deserved. And we're really looking forward to hearing you read for us. So if you have your link, or do you need me to send it directly to you if you're not near it?
No, I pulled up my phone. I know what poem it is, so I pulled it up.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Well, then if you would dazzle us, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Here it is. Till Dawn Comes. Done to the picture by Tom Sandler called Moonlight Campfire. Darkness holds a heritage of fear. The fire, the moon, keeps what looms from drawing closer. Light. It is always about the light. Colors blossom at its touch. Nightmares crushed by its blush. When we breathe in darkness, we search for something bright, like the grace of a painter's brush to stroke colors, give our canvas light. Here in the night is light strongest, in the heart of the fire where darkness is kept at bay. Or is it in the rising moon who hushes the whisper of stars, awakens colors caught sleeping under night's blanket, perhaps. We shelter under one as we warm ourselves to the other, protected. Till dawn awakens and we stir the ash to douse the fire, stretch, and greet the sun, the moon, both friend and lover, setting.
That's just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Tom.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, that poem just speaks to me, you know, as an artist and a poet, you know, color is just a big part of my life. And it's through the light. And you so aptly illustrate in your paint and your poem that, you know, that without the light, none of it exists really. And I think it's just a beautiful poem.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm, as a Quaker, the light is a real strong spiritual statement. As a, I don't know, artist, I guess you'd say, I'm constantly fascinated by if it's all dark, we're blinded. If it's all light, we're blinded. So it is the fact that the way the two constantly balance with each other and create contrast that allows us to see. And I get fascinated by all that. I can philosophize forever, so I won't.
And Tom, I thought it was an excellent poem, and I know Mark touched on the light, and I think that the poem from start to finish is awesome, but I'm really, really taken by that stanza, the second stanza. Light is always about the light. Colors blossom as it's touched. Nightmares, crushed nights blush. When we breathe in darkness, we search for something bright like the grace of a painter's brush to stroke colors. Give our canvas life. I love the whole stanza, but especially the last line, to stroke the colors and give the canvas life. And the fact that you put that in there reminds me of the, you know, you look at the beautiful photo and you see what they did with the light and with their brush. And then you grabbed your pen and you painted just as stunning of a portrait through words here. And, I say congratulations on your award. It's an excellent poem, and I'm really thrilled that you were able to call and read for us.
Oh, thank you. I tried to write with the idea of being read, you know, being heard out loud. I am a frequenter of open mics, and it definitely influences the flow and the rhythm that I use in pre-verse.
And you have a voice
I've entered the autumn winter, the Winter Park paint out contest, I think every year that I've been here. So it's nice to finally win something.
Thank you for that.
Back me up. Isn't it something we look forward to every year? Mark does such a great job. I don't want to embarrass him, but I don't think he gives himself enough credit, because I know it's a lot of hard work, and it's not like you're not an extremely busy guy, Mark, and to take all this time year after year to put poetry and art together is a great thing, and then to also on top of all that show up, and I think this is our third year in a row. I think one year
you're
was
right.
Rochelle, and then I think
yes.
You and Becky hosted together, and then you and I again. So I think it's our third. But yeah, it's
you're right.
And I for one very much appreciate all the hard work you do. Just saying,
thank you.
But brilliant work.
Nicely appreciated. You know, Thomas,
okay.
One more thing, if I could, about your poem. You know, your delivery of the way and what you write, but then the way you speak it really brings it into focus for, you know, the reader. So your experience on the open mic really comes through in the reading of this poem. And so I just want to make you know that I think it's really, really very good.
Yeah, I even took a course at George Mason in what they call forensics, which is they have competitions, and the teacher who taught it managed to have George Mason be a national winner practically every year. She was incredible and taught me a great deal in terms of how you almost have to stroke each word with your voice. It's utterly fascinating to work with someone who's really great at whatever art they do, because you benefit in so many different ways just being in their presence.
And I think that this contest kind of illustrates that. Not that we don't really have the reading, although we have readings, live readings actually at the event all week long. Art is art, whether it's teen or poetry or music. It all really comes out of the same place in a human, the human condition. And so the lines blur more and more. And for me, especially with poetry, I see such blurring of music and the cadence and the musicality and lyrical nature of poetry. And then you got the vividness of photography, and you got the gut punch of a great expressionist painting, So everything you could want is in poetry. If you love art.
Yeah, I've always thought it'd be fascinating to do a mixed media where you let people walk into a room and see art, painting and a poem beside it that were both sort of expressing the same idea. And then after they've had a chance to go through the gallery and stuff like that, have a performance where you mix music, because I've done poetry with jazz musicians and stuff, and I've been fascinated by the idea of doing poetry and jazz and then adding in dancers too, so that you really get the full mix. I got the original idea from Ezra Pound's ABCs of Reading.
You should write that up and present it to a museum. That someone might jump on that.
Oh, really? It's because it's just something. If you read the opening lines of the ABCs of Reading, he speaks about how all music that you can't dance to ceases to be music, and poetry that doesn't have music in it ceases to be poetry. And so that's
right.
Where I kind of like found myself bringing them all together.
Well, I really like the idea of pushing poetry out in ways that people it's unexpected. We just launched, actually today, we launched an exhibit at the Orange County Public Administration Building, in their display space, an exhibit of 40 poems. And you normally think of, art exhibits as being art, but these are literally just written poems on panels. And it was so fascinating. I dropped by today to see how it was going. And, people walking up and just reading each one. And what I noticed was they were actually saying the words to themselves as they were reading them. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest compliments I can get is when somebody I hear goes, I liked your poem so much that I had to read it out loud. And I'm like, yes, that's what you want to hear.
Right, yeah. And I really think there is something about the intonation of words that that timbre that soaks into your body when you hear the words and the meanings of them and creates this idea in your head. And sometimes you can't shake it. Sometimes you're like, what?
things will show up at the strangest places. I mean, I once got a poem that I, believe it or not, that I dedicated to my grandmother, because she taught me all my manners, that the first lines came to me while I was blow-drying my hair, of all things.
I was talking to Sean Sexton. He's a cowboy poet, actually. So he has a ranch. He's a working poet. And he keeps his cell phone on him. And whenever an idea strikes him, he just talks it into his notes and his computer. And then after the workday's done at night, sometimes he goes back and reviews these things and starts writing. and that's his process.
Yeah, I mean, I love the when the cassettes first came out in cars. Stevie Wonder was giving an interview, and he says, "Oh yeah, I think that's great." He says, "Because I'll be riding in the car, and all of a sudden I'll push record and start singing a part of a verse, just to keep the ideas, because you never know what you want, you know, what may be the thing that sparks something else." And he says, and you know, you can't remember them. They sort of pop into your mind and then they disappear.
Right. Right. You know, the other thing is this, that first concept, whatever it is that gets you started on a poem, you know, after you get the poem written, quite often it's not the same concept. And that first stanza and the last stanza, yeah, you could probably lose them. You know, we call it killing the darlings, you know, you know, but often,
oh, yeah,
because you get this preconceived notion, which gets you going, but it's really the juice is in the middle. You know, and that's much like a poet's life or an artist's life, because, you know, every work, no artist is ever satisfied with the work that they just did. They're always thinking about the next one they're going to do. And that's why you see these processes, these looping through concepts like Monet painting the front of the church for, you know, in ten different kinds of light, you know,
right,
exactly the same painting, you know, but it wasn't exactly the same painting at all, you know, to him or to many people who look at it now. But it is interesting where inspiration comes from and what you do with it, you know, and I think that is the what makes an artist is that they do, you know, they don't just think of the idea, but then they act on it, you know, and that act of acting literally is what artistry is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
I don't get the feeling you love art, Mark. I can hear it in your voice as you're talking about it. It's an awesome thing.
Yeah. I love art and poetry. I love anything that kind of opens up the human condition to someone else, you know, says, oh, because there's this idea that, you know, we're not alone. And people feel so isolated, you know, and it really is art that opens it up. Art, and when I say art, I mean poetry, music, you know, all forms of the aesthetic expression, you know, that opens up a world to people who are isolated and makes them realize that they aren't alone, or at least that they're open to that. It can.
Very true. And so do you with the pairing of the poems and the art for this contest every year, just saying. I forgot to say hello to Hatter. He's hanging out with us. He's my co-host under every other normal circumstance. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Hatter. Thank you for giving me a little room on the seat.
no problem. That beanbag chair is a little hard to get out of, though. Yeah, no problem.
I'm glad you're here. Now, guys, Thomas, can you see my board, or do you need me to send you a link to the poem I'm about to read?
Oh, you're gonna have to send me a link, because I do things with late night poets, but not anything with you in the past. So,
not a problem at all. Let me do that right now, so that you can follow along with us. And I am at your page right now and putting it in your inbox. And this is another one of the honorable mention winners. And he's in the chat room right now, which is why I pulled this specific one forward. And I was going to read it for him. Tell me when you see it, Thomas.
Okay, let me just... I'm on classic, so everything has to pop up in that little envelope. Otherwise, let's check that one. Because I see the comment you made. But I'm not getting the message for some reason.
I'll send it a second time just in case. I'm not...
Like I said, I'm in classic, which makes you, because I'm one of the people who screamed that he wouldn't go to the new site until we forced Kevin to make classic.
Wow.
I went. I I spent so many years in the early part of AP helping to develop plastic that it irritated me to no end when he wanted to wash it away and replace it with other things. here we go. Let's see. Enter the Storm by Robert Pulaski.
Yes. Okay. And again, that is another one of the honorable mention awards. And here we go. Enter the Storm by Robert Pulaski. It's coming. Breakers crash. Cavernous bowels stir, growling from the fathoms. Hissing sea lashes pebbles back and forth. Raspy rumbling echo rolls through the air. A tremulous diffuse waves slobbering with salty lips pound into the cliff. Riptide rolls, heave, and expunge its rage. It's here, the turbid ebb and flow of human misery, berating hatred of the sea. Sounds of dark thoughts cold as ghoul's eyes. A specter's cloak hides heaven and earth from the view. Echoing waves, free from the bondage of words, hold memories of martyrs. Aftermath, maroon on the forsaken quay. Substantial marshland, riparian dark home, find the trail of exodus to the Red Sea of fate. Sea of the Ark, the swallowing Jonah belly, full of tempests, unexpected squalls. Life, beginnings and endings. End poem. Wow.
Now, is Robert here?
He is not he's not in the studio, but he is in the chat room.
Okay, he's in the chat room. Okay. Well, this poem, this particular painting got a lot of responses from poets, and it's so powerful. It explodes onto. It's not that big. It's like maybe I'll finish the sentence in a minute. It's maybe about I'd say 24 inches wide at the most, and it's kind of unfinished at the bottom. But there's some such power in the rage of this one wave about to slap the shoreline and then you can feel the sense of storminess because of the faded horizon lines and Robert just hit it on the nail. And when I read through this the first time, when he said waves slobbering with salty lips, he had me won. I knew this was going to be a great poem, and it did went right through. I love the references to Sophocles and all the biblical references and just life references, but he didn't linger on any one of those things. Allowed your mind just to take those things and churn them just like the waves churning the little sand and bits of the sea. So it was really a beautiful poem in that way.
Absolutely, and I think that his word choices, like with the free from the bondage of words and hold memories of martyrs, and something about the to fear waves slobbering with salty lips. It was just a brilliant metaphors that, and when enter the storm, if it takes or it does, it takes a storm to stir up a wave like that. And when I first saw this on the board, I had a double look because he captured the light we've been talking about so well that it's almost photograph-like. And if I remember correctly, because I almost wrote to this one too, but I wanted to write to somebody who was new to painting for the paint out. But I thought that this one changed on the second day, and it's a little bit different. But I, too, kept the first version. And I know it looks a little, you had said unfinished, but I think that was kind of what appealed to me because it looks like the wave just ripped up that shore. So I think that Robert really brought it justice between the title and the sections. I don't really have a favorite one because each one brings something else to the photo, but I think he did a brilliant job in showing us rage that wave has the power of in its little white froth. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, and you know the other thing is, the other thing is you know, plein air painting is about painting a moment, right? And so this artist has captured this moment of the wave coming to shore. And what I just loved about Robert's poem was it said, okay, yeah, well, this is about the storm and the whole storm coming to shore, you know. And so, you know, the moment expanded out exponentially. It was really cool.
Totally true.
I actually see this as three vignettes in a sense. You know, the it's coming, where he really takes the dynamics of the wave and speaks to that. And then in the it's here, he transfers it and turns it into an analogy of people's relationship both to the sea and to the storms within themselves. And then in the aftermath, almost the quick vignette that speaks to the history of the wave and the way that we have been held by it and changed by it, and which makes that last line, life's beginnings and endings, so perfect in the final summation. Because it's a real nice balance of giving you striking phrases without spending too much time getting lost in explanations or trying to tell you what any of it's about. Very, very, very sharp, aggressive type imagery in each little vignette. Very striking way to do it. And well over 24 lines.
Yeah.
Couldn't resist that.
Whoa, you bugger. Okay, awesome comments. Sorry about the traffic out front. That was obnoxious. I have a recording that was sent in by the gold winner for tonight. So I think I'm going to grab her poem and put that one on the board. And only a handful of people didn't get back to me, so I was thrilled that so many are getting used to the fact that they can have their work on air when stuff happens. And this is your gold winner, Mark, Virginia Archer. And if you go ahead and click on that, we'll push play. Let me send it to Thomas. I just sent you one message, Thomas, and here's the link. Did I just put Robert up again? I apologize. Let me grab the right one. I am sending you now the correct one, which this one is for the gold winner. There we go. And back to Team of Voices, and I'll click back on her poem. And here we go, gentlemen. I will please play.
Your chair is empty now, inspired by the painting Special Spot by Kathleen Dennis. Your chair is empty now, the birds will come to light upon the arms, the garden's hush will bring the bees, I hear their gentle hum, to dart among the green and purple lush of flowers that surround your empty chair, so still until a gentle breeze gives nod to all the petals and the leaves in prayer. They genuflex before the sunshine god. But you are gone, your chair a vacant place, left bare out in the sun, the shadows creep across the seat where once I saw your face, uplifted to the sky, eyes closed in sleep. Now you're not there, the sun's a little dim, the chatter of the birds a quiet hymn.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's just awesome. Yeah, what's wonderful about one of the wonderful things about this poem of so many, it's a rhyming poem, but it is you hardly even notice that it's a rhyming poem because the phrasing is just so beautiful. You just fall in love with the phrasing as she goes through it, and which I did for sure in this piece. But yeah, it's a really nice poem.
It truly stuns with its imagery, because it gives such a graceful sense of meaning to the picture without stealing anything from the picture, which is a beautiful artistic statement. And to do it with such grace and lyricism, which is, I think, part of the strength of this and why you don't notice the rhyme, and which is really what a rhyme should do. It just helps to hold everything together without, a good drummer in jazz drummer isn't going to try to deafen you with cymbals and stuff, but, you know, they'll shimmer in the background where they need to, and the bass will work very simply. And this does all of that. And by the time you're done, you're looking at the picture and going, I didn't realize all of that was there, but there's that there and so much more. Beautiful, beautiful piece.
It's interesting, because it is a sonnet, and it has the perfect turn at the volta. You know, it says, but you are gone. When you write a sonnet, and you got to find that one phrase that will really just completely turn the piece, you know, from the environmental aspect, which is the beginning of this, this sonnet. It's just painting the picture, and then you get hit with, but you're gone, and that just, you know, yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and the shift of the way she uses the light, both in the beginning and then after that line, are really dramatic when you stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
That's fair. The sun, the shadows creep across the seat where I once saw your face uplifted to the sky, eyes closed in sleep. That whole phrase just was so sharp that it stole my breath the first time I read it.
And, you know, M.B. McClatchy, she gave me comments for the top three poems, and her comment here is just so beautiful, because she says, and yet the absence will not be the theme of in this sonnet. You know, she's talking about this loss, but she's saying that's not what the theme of the sonnet's about. It's about the color and about the resolve of love and the conquering death and all of that. And so, when a poem can take you an image, and you could be happy just in that image, but then you can also fall into the image fully and immerse yourself in what the image means, the metaphor of it all. And that's what this poem that does. You just fall all the way into it.
Absolutely true. It's a beautiful brevity. Okay, now I put the silver medal winner on the board, and I sent it to you as well, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ursula W. McCabe, and she, her poem is being read tonight by Upon Rains, A.P. Taylor, and he recorded it for us. So if everyone sees the link, I will push that now for the silver winner.
Okay, this is from Ursula W. McCabe, and this is a poem called Boats Taking Shelter at Dog Island, based off the image by Peter Pettigrew, and this is the silver medal winner in the Autumn Winter Park contest. And it goes a little bit like this. a squall can come up fast. Words are thrown like slanted rain. It strikes like shells with scalloped edges. They don't bring blood, but dent the skin. We are not yet a shipwreck, but pales are ready for our boat holds regrets. The waves are transformed into crested clubs, climbing to the deck, making a home. Scared, we pause, and swimming towards as dolphins gather round, whistling water songs. We are spinning elongated Tahitian pearls, even grey can glint on occasion. Our stomachs start to unclench, and we tether ourselves to the idea that maybe being kind to each other will create a shelter out there, somewhere, in poem.
Beautiful read. Thank you, AP. Mark?
Well, yeah, that definitely was a beautiful read, AP. And it's a great poem, but, you delivered that beautifully. You know, the little pieces of...
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah,
you can hear me.
I hear you fine.
Okay, thank you. The little pieces of information... paint a big picture. The Tahitian pearls, for instance, you know, that tells you so much. You know, that opens you up to this, to what this poem is about. I think that's some of the things that, and the idea of slanted rain. You know, think about that. You know, just coming straight across at you. Have you? And I know I've experienced that. Living in Florida is something you experience often. You know, it's a powerful metaphor. Actually here she's using it as a simile, but it really is like a metaphor. Yeah, so she did a beautiful job.
Yeah, I love the we're not a shipwreck. We're not yet a shipwreck, but pales are ready for our boat holds regrets. That's just such a stunning description and speaks on so many different levels all at once that I just, phrases like that delight me to no end. I can sit around and think about a phrase like that for hours, just all the different ways you can take it and hold on to it, especially when it comes to something like a boat.
And I like that she doesn't really resolve it at the end. She leaves it as a postulation, you know, maybe being kind to each other will create a shelter out there somewhere, you know. You know, you just continue to think about that, you know, just soaks in.
You know, I say it again, I don't envy the judges at all. And here we are almost at halftime. So I'll take a second to say that, a reminder, this is a Team of Voices Radio, a poetry group from allpoetry.com. If you would like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And we are live with Mark Andrew J. Terry featuring the poems from the Winter Park Paint Out. And Mark, if you wanted to do that announcement, that would be awesome. And then we'll try to get the rest of the poems into the show.
Well, yeah, I'd love to be able to let you all know that we believe, of course, now that this new variant's out, it could hamper our plans, but our goal is to, again, in the spring, go back to the last week in April during the Napo Mo month and have our Winter Park paint out again. So it's not very far off. I'm prepared to do it again. I sure hope all of you will join in and enjoy the event with me.
Well, I'll definitely be there. You know that.
Me too.
Thank you, Tom. Thank
you,
Beth.
I love it. All right. Now, let's see. You know what? I think maybe I'll read mine because I was honored with honorable mention as well this year. I'm so excited. And I am putting this, okay, is on the board. Let me just send it to Thomas's box as soon as I find his button. I will have it right there. And there we go. Okay.
From the title.
I'm making sure I didn't just set it. I think I just sent you the same one again. I don't know why it's not picking these up. Let me
well, I'm looking at the...
yeah, it's a Garden Rhapsody and Sweet Butterfly Kisses. It's the very bottom of the finalists, which, by the way, we're not in an order on that. So.
Oh, yeah. But, honor's honor. So you do have it, Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, now. I lost it. Here it is. Okay. My poem is called Garden Rhapsody and Sweet Butterfly Kisses. And here we go. Follow the flight of the lace butterflies that surf on the air for a spiral ballet. Eyelet wings flap and loop sky pirouettes, flitting to blooms in the garden display. As blackberry blue iris dot topiary borders, powder puff mimosa perfumes the breeze, blending violet azaleas and scarlet sage by three dwarf hickory and magnolia trees. Flies on pink milkweed, but the honeybees sipping sweet nectar. A tangerine parrot flies past the plaza to bathe in streams of the fountain water. I breathe wild coffee and snapdragon cologne, and this brain pictures mom from the aroma. She sits on the bench in the sculptor garden, tucked in the periwinkle and dewdrop petunia. Now I sit lost in the snapshots from yesterday's, those days before she, then my father passed, till I snap back into now, but with soggy cheeks. Hair stand parading on skin like a wind's blast. Wings flutter over the bronze butterfly fountain like ballroom dancers. Then they land on my knee, and heartstrings sing as the goose pimples travel from butterfly kisses mom and dad sent down to me. End poem.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, I loved when you introduced your mom in this. You know, at the beginning of the poem, you're floating our minds and the wings' actions across the air and across the garden, and then you just like a sonnet does, you did a turn, you know, and you say, "I breathe wild coffee and snapdragon cologne." You know, who says that? That's just great words, you know. But you just go on, and I'm left just really kind of feeling like I want to be part of your family, you know. Beautiful that way.
What an amazing thing
yeah.
to say.
And yeah, I'm really fastened on that. I breathe wild coffee and snapdragon cologne because the minute you hit it, there was a true shift in the entire way the poem was being read. The colors in the first part are so thick and luscious that they almost overwhelm me. And all of a sudden, then after the I breathe wild coffee and snapdragon cologne, it becomes much more focused, and the imagery shifts from the garden to the internal world. And then I thought that wings flutter over the bronze butterfly fountain like ballroom dancers. Then they land on my knee. It was just, again, another striking, almost like a bell tone. And
mm-hmm.
In fact, it was so strong that the poem really felt like it never quite ended, but just kept traveling out in that soft sort of echo that bells have when they resonate through the air. Really, really beautifully done.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, guys. And let's say hello. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing. I always do. The other thing I thought was amazing about this poem is you broke that second to last stanza. And, you know, I always call it the bubble in the glass, you know, where if you find crystal, you know it's fine crystal, it's hand done because you see the little bubble in it, you know. And that intentional flaw created a moment there that said, okay, get ready. And then you deliver your final stanza. So that was really a piece of brilliance, technical brilliance there.
You guys are awesome. And can we say hello to Sweepy? Hey, Sweet.
Hello.
Hey, Sweet.
Hello. Very glad you're here. And
hi.
Well, it's you, me, and Hatter, and we are here with Mark, and we are here with Thomas B.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Sweepy.
And I love that, Paul.
Oh, thank you, my sweet. I appreciate it. I was trying, yeah. Got a little whimsical there, but happens sometimes, right? Okay. The next poem I put on the board is by Linda M.B. She won the bronze on the contest. And I will push play. This poem was recorded for her by A.P. Taylor, and if you guys click on it, I will push play. And thank you for both of the recordings, A.P. I appreciate the assist very much. Here we go.
Thank you, Deb. This is a poem by Linda M.B. called Watch Quietly, which won the bronze medal in the Autumn Winter Park competition. It's from the image Bamboo and Sunshine by Irina Kovnaka Ashcroft, and it goes a little bit like this. Bamboo grows freely in this steamy place, unlike in my garden where it is considered a weed. Pity, as it has a beauty, a knotted woody style like your fingers turned brown from scalding sun in this private sparkling haven. You bathe alone. Sky and lagoon, both ever blue, reminds me of my topaz ring, brilliant in the daylight, bright white prisms reflecting. I will stay a while, hiding in this thicket of lush green and red and lemon-coloured leaves, watching as you lie to dry in your shaded white cabana, regretting I am too far from you to count, each water drop rolling off your skin. There is such a sacred stillness to it all, in poem.
Beautiful.
Oh, wow. Well, another great read, AP. And, you know, this is so sensual, you know. You don't always think of ekphrasis as a sensual experience, but here she's taking this voyeur perspective and looking through these bamboos and there far, and you don't know it until the end, but there at the end of the poem is the reason for the poem, you know, and that kind of stuff, just great poetry.
I agree. I think that's one of my favorite aspects of this one. I thought it was beautifully sensual, and the way she handled the rite was quite a tease. And I just thought it was a brilliant piece. And I know I already said this twice, but I don't care. I don't envy the judges one iota. Did we lose Tom?
No. I'm just thinking on the way people take a picture and suddenly find a story, suddenly find a way of translating it into a personal experience. And she does it beautifully. I mean, I love the thing where she catches the ridges and knots in the bamboo and turns it into his hands and fingers. You know, like your fingers turn brown, a knotted Woody style, like your fingers turn brown from scalding sun in this private sparkling haven. The mix of both the vision of the bamboo and the vision of the person she's watching and the way they come together as one, one keeps it from feeling like it's, you're dealing with a voyeur as much as you're dealing with an artist, especially when you hit that last line. There is such a sacred stillness to it all. And all you can do is sort of exhale and go, and enjoy what you just heard. Very well done.
Great comments, you guys. Okay, I guess we're going to keep rolling along so we can fit them all in. I loaded the next one, also an HM winner, and this poem is called Cascading Feathers. And let me get that on the board. Okay, I am headed to the studio because she sent us a recording. And I can't wait to hear it. Here we go. All right.
Cascading Feathers, a poem inspired by the painting Feather Cascade by Michelle Held. The Atma blooms and the fringes feathered by your eyes as they open like ocean, merging in the color that runs down a brush, as if a trail of a wave. The neck, a lock of Krishna's curl, sprightly in its twist, and strokes arrest a trance in a shimmering gleam of cascading teal, blue, and green.
So this is you. I'd love to almost hear it again because what happens is you kind of the images just kind of fall down the page much like the words do, and then in this slight indent lock of Krishna's curl, you get a sense, oh, there's something more here than just this idea of the environment, but she allows it to just continue on and just to trail off, which I think is a very kind of spiritual thing, so that held my interest.
Yeah, the thing I like about this, first of all, is we as a poetry site cover so many countries and so many different ways of seeing that it's just so incredibly rich. And with this, the whole Hindu spirituality from the Atma to Krishna's curls, I mean, it just speaks so richly of what a magnificent set of cascading feathers we are as a world. The fringes feathered by your eyes as they open like oceans, merging in the color that runs down a brush as if a trail of a wave. I just love that. I mean, that and the neck, the lock of Krishna's curl sprightly in its twist. The spiritual is so thoroughly tangled in the everyday, so thoroughly part of this wave that runs through us, the energy, the spirituality, just vibrant. And then that last line of cascading teal, blue, and green catches back to the idea of feathers. Because I love it when I watch some of the birds that land outside at my feeders in the winter, because when they shift in the sun, all of a sudden you see colors that we're just – not there before. It's a constant surprise, and there's a lot of that feeling in all of this. It's almost as if she brushes your mind with a feather stroke. Really, nicely done.
That was an awesome comment
from
both of you. Thank you so much.
All you got to do is get the artist pledge running.
Sorry about that. If you could click on the poem, Virginia Lake Visions, and then Sweet Pea will read for the honorable mention winner, C. Opal.
This is Virginia Lake Visions by C. Opal, written to the painting by Olina Babak. Hope I said that name correctly. Elysian lakes of dreams under silver crescent moon. I watch stars dance and fall, evening sky and tangerine moons, a veil of mist visions. Dryad winds ruffle reeds, indigo twilight, precious quiet, soft shadows tiptoeing clouds, murmurs in finger lakes echo the pipes of Pan, twinkling in foam ripples, a musical splash, Virginia's lake mermaid, bathed in sunlight aura, swims in dusky sonnet, pink and orange and bathed by merchandise of night dreams. I wrap gold stars in my dress, wander to ivory temple. Rose petal kisses to my beloved under silver crescent moon. And poem.
Beautiful, Lucy.
It really was. Thank you, Sweetie. That was great. You know, and this poem, it's probably one of the most successful at setting a tone. You know, in this, you it's almost like a soft whisper through the whole piece. It's very satisfying because it's a peacefulness. It takes you, you know, out of this cacophony of life we're in, and you focus in on a poem, and in that poem you find a sense of peace. And you know, that's just, I wish I could write like that.
that is it.
You know, I love that. I love that about this poem. And I actually like that she repeated that line. The second line is the last line, or close to it. And it is the last line, yeah. But I like that because it just kind of just was like, you know, if you're taking a fabric, you just fold it over and just hem the, you know, stitch the hem. That's what she did there, you know. It was great.
Yeah, she really did steal ideas from the Iliad, the Elysian Lake of Dreams, or actually more of the tale of Odysseus and the return. Dryad winds, mermaids on the lake. It all helps to sort of bring together this feeling of almost a magical, mystical, wondrous journey. And the other touches, you know, echo the pipes of Pan, just help to deepen the sense of you are being stolen away from what you recognize in your everyday and given something that is greater, bigger, and worthy of a journey to a new world. Very, very, very well done.
Awesome comment.
One of the things I thought was really interesting, I mentioned it to her in my comment, but, you know, if you where this artist was standing to get this painting is on a dock that extends out from the property on the Palaszczuk grounds. And right next to that dock is a little allegorical figure that Mr. Palaszczuk did back in the 20s called the Mermaid. And here she is, and you know, there's no way Ursula knew that, you know. So the mermaid's looking over the artist's shoulder, and the poet is painting about the mermaid.
Nice.
Awesome. Some amazing poetry.
You know,
I'm sorry, what did you say, Tom?
I said there's a certain synchronicity to life.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, guys. If you will click on the next poem. This is a poem that was sent in for us by Titus Llewellyn. And if you haven't heard him read, you're in for a treat. He has a great accent and a great reading voice. And he sent us a recording. So just click on that. I'll shoot over and push play. And here we go.
A wolf in sheep's clothing. There are moments when gliding on the lake, enchantments do reach such epic proportion. Nothing like an adventure. Dreams it make a downy wolfbane plant, the mere distortion would see to its saliva. With merely trickles, having dispensed toxin, methinks of Hades. It could hang some dreadful pangs, ventricles uplifting heartbeats, far cry from Cyclades. Found by the clade, whose wretched trunks, whose claws it clutched at. Wolves? Struth? To think it rabies, plasma movement amongst a savage brood. Who'd leave a devil's hoof, where once before her satin gown did move? The waters raised, fear altars do braze a while. For had it served the good for this, she'd prove cultures still, having changed to wend hostile. So near, so far, our mute shuddered to a halt. A mighty crown compounds the many calms. A sign, a gnarly point, fangs they will retort. They'll pull to shreds, increase panic alarms.
Yeah, I have to say I was very surprised this didn't make it to the top of the list, because it was one of my favorite poems in the contest. And because, one, of course, I Tony writes with such a depth of knowledge and brings all that to the table and has no apology for, you know, how intellectual it is, but it also has tone and musicality and emotion. Everything is still in there, you know, but he just pulls everything from the English language and shoves it into a poem, you know, and you know, so I was really surprised it didn't come up. But, you know, I guess you have to have a taste for that. That has some old world language in it. It has some really cool references that some people might not get or want to get even, but I do, and I just love this poem.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right to a certain degree that the more we get to know a certain person's style and form, we if we find ourselves becoming intrigued or delighted by it, we're a lot more open and available for people who are writing in a very personal style, I guess, for lack of a better word. I every judge has a certain expectation for what they're looking for, I think, in their own, whether they recognize it or not. When I my mother was props manager at the Virginia Beach Boardwalk Arts Show in the summer, and I can remember when I was, God, I was 12, 13, 14, walking behind the judges, listening to them talk about various pictures and paintings, and being, and sometimes being very aware that they're pre-thinking about what was supposed to be there, got in the way of seeing what was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you're right. I really like Tyson's work. It's very thick and rich, and you can spend hours taking apart a line just to catch everything that he pours into it.
Yeah, I think that the charm of that comes with his pen is pretty palpable sometimes, and many of us have been touched by what Tony calls his Earth Angels collection, and he writes these stunning masterpieces for people all over the site. And one of the most fascinating parts is that, like, I want to say the last time I looked at his list, there was like 60-some people that he had wrote into this every day, or Earth Angels, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep wanting to say every day. But, like, to sit down with all the other things that he's doing and to write these incredible tribute poems for the people around the site, and he lists their names there. And let me tell you, he has brought many poets to tears when he showed up. And then was I way off with the number? I'll have you know that I'm looking at the list now. If you get a chance to check out that list, you should. He has paid tribute to, count them, 90 poets on all poets.
Wow.
With his Earth Angel collection. So it's a fascinating read. And I don't want to brag, but I'm one of the people he wrote about, and I'm one of the people that cried when I received it, and it was brilliant. So thank you for that. All right.
Well, I will, you know, I will go out on a limb and say that this poet, Tony, when we're all dead and gone and he finally publishes this tome he's working on, it will be a masterpiece that will be recognized as such. That's what I believe.
Well, that's an awesome thing to say. I believe it, too. He's working his proverbial tushy off on this.
Good for you, Deb.
Okay, now let's see. Where are we on this list? It's just stunning how many of these poems are here. All right, let me grab the next poem and keep them going, because believe it or not, it's gone by so fast that we're down to only 40 minutes. We've done well over an hour already. And now, before I put the next poem on, I did want to take a moment. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who did not respond at all, or weren't able to get a chance to email us. So we won't be able to use the poetry, because it's against all poetry rules to use poems without an authorization by email. But I would like to shout out to them, for example, and all of the names I'm about to mention won an honorable mention in this contest, and I just want to say congratulations to them. And that would be the poet Old Faithful, the poet In Walk to Bud, the poet Kay Sparrow, the poet Fran Marie, and the poet Mindful. Again, all 5 of those were recipients of an honorable mention, and congratulations to you all. If you hear the show and would like your poem on one of the shows, we'd be glad to put it on one of the open poetry nights for you. Just message one of the board members and we'll work that out for you without any problem whatsoever. Now, on that note, I am going to grab another poem while I still have the beautiful Sweet Pea in the room and have her read another one for us. And I'm going to grab that. I am going to grab the poem by Alyssa Wee, or Y. I apologize for saying it wrong, but congratulations.
It's Wee.
each way. Okay. Congratulations, Alyssa Wee. And Sweet Pea, would you do us the honors?
Peter, There Are No Rabbits Here by Alyssa Wee. For many moons that I claim, to measure the distance of my love and back, to these trees that are neither willows nor mature oaks, the wind has blown away the shadows that hugged this island. Once I was that rabbit, in a hurry, eager to skim the water in a race to nowhere, to somewhere where you did not exist. But you pulled all the roots, crawl your way onto a branch between the boredom of bored books, trying to stand, grabbing my feet from the shore, whale without wisdom. The lake is cold, the sky is vast, clouds part to reveal the stars in your eyes, and the softness of childhood akin to fur. End poem.
Just another great poem, isn't it? Oh my goodness. You know, when you read the title, you think, okay, this is going to be a real narrative poem, but it really isn't. I mean, it has narration. It speaks of narration, but really this poem is about trying to touch that soft fur of childhood and hold on to it in spite of everything that goes on around you. And the idea that, you know, if the tree stands tall and you climb out on it, and you don't scream, the lake is cold and the sky is vast, you miss the moment of life, literally, you know? So that just makes you want to sing, really, this song, this poem.
Am I the only one that's loving the joy in Mark's voice while he's doing this show? I don't know.
It's just to disguise the ignorance underneath.
He's been given the number of years you've done this poetry contest. If you weren't receiving great joy from it, it would be a horrible adventure.
Well, I agree with that 100%, and I do. I truly do love doing this, and because these things, like this poem, happens, and, you know, it just pops into my life, and it just it enriches it, you know, in a way that nothing else can, you know. But, you know, that is poetry, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It sure is. So what do you think of that one, Tom?
There's so many times I love Alyssa's work, and I love all of her contests. Constantly challenge me, which is the reason I enter all of them. This one, and I'm with you, Mark. It hints at a story. It speaks to more of sort of the spirit of a story rather than the my mind just went blank. Rather than, you know, the process of
actually
the tale.
The telling of the story. Yeah.
Right.
Tell it. It's but you get the spirit of it.
You know, you can speak to the spirit of a story without getting all caught up in the plot and, you know, the beginning and mm-hmm. the end. And she so much catches the spirit of the story. What youth is, that exploration, that discovery, that awakening, and that is so richly part of this entire piece that it's a joy to read.
Yeah, this is another one of those poems too, to Deb and Thomas, that and Sweet Pea, I know you're there too, that illustrates the magnificence of poetry on allpoetry.com. Yeah, and I'm reading a lot of poetry these days. I'm involved in a statewide organization and the national slam that's going to be coming up next year. I'm going to be involved with that. And all of this poetry is, you know, everything on the site is as good, if not better, than a lot of what I read. So it's just, you know, and I've had to kind of pull back on what I write and put on the site because I'm
you know, submitting a lot of it to publication and contests now and various things, and it can't be published. And if you put it on the site, then it's published. But so what I've started to do now is after it is published, now I'm putting it on the site because I want you guys to read it, but I just, you know, I only have X amount of hours in a day, so I can't be writing in both ways. So if you're wondering why I haven't been entering contests, that's really the big reason.
Yeah, I noticed that about some of them insisting that it be published somewhere else, and I've just kind of put where I put together sort of three different books, and if I can ever get them edited properly, it's so hard to edit your own stuff. It drives me absolutely batshit crazy. Then I'll probably go to the process of getting them published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have an editor. You absolutely have to have one because you never will catch everything. Because you fall in love with your own words and you don't see, you know, the errors that are there that you
now,
want to
see. It takes me 2 to 3 years before I can see what the poem's doing. You know, it's funny how some poems, when they're 2 years, 3 years old, you thought they were great when you first wrote them, and then you look at them and go, God, this is horrible. And there's other poems which you didn't even realize were all that good. You just sort of had tossed them off, and you come back across them 5 years later and go, God, this is stunning. When did I write this? You know, and it's funny how it works that way.
Yeah, but you're recognizing different things. See, as you get older, you're recognizing these different things, but not older, but as you mature in your writing, you see these different things. It's the same thing in art. You know, I used to do all this oil pastels, and I did years of oil pastels and just really kind of these plein air, do them in 30 minutes kind of thing. And, you know, I look back on some of those now and I say, oh, my God, I wish I could capture that verb again. You know, it's just because I know too much. You know, I want to get rid of all that
I've been, you know, you also go through your own kind of series of changes, you know. I look at them sort of like waves because I will go through these periods where I start getting really rich in the verbiage, and then I decide I'm getting too cluttered with adjectives, and I'll start cutting everything out until I'm writing basically nothing but these short little horrible things, and then I go back up to repopulating my words again. You know, everybody's got their own demons to wrestle with in the process of creating.
Well, one of the things is we fall in love with words we don't even realize we're falling in love with. Like I, when I put out the Magnolias Bloom book, you know, when I first started the editing process for that, I couldn't believe how many times I used the word cypress, you know. So I had to go through and rewrite some stuff because I just couldn't bear to have them line up that way in a publication, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I like that word, too. I think I have it in more than six poems, I have to admit. So maybe I should watch it too.
It's hard, you know, I write about the part. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish your sentence, please.
Well, I was just going to say, I write a lot about the Florida environment, and so the cypress tree is just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Gets in the way.
For sure. They're amazing trees. I think I've even called them sentinels. I have a poem about them from the Winter Park, I believe. Anyway, doesn't matter. I am going to read for the woman I call my twin, Becky Friend. She was going to call. I'm not sure what happened, but nonetheless, I believe that last year was a hat trick for Becky, 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. How impressive is that? Won an award. And I get to read for her. It's called Permanence. And it's inspired by Moss on a Creek Rock by Scott Heiston. And it's from Becky Friend. Here we go. Restless Creek runs circles around my feet. Downhill spills of brown-green rhythms. A rippling symphony. Sweet and unending. While the chameleon sky moves the eyes with a flying color wheel, every spin a surprise.
teal blue and black steel reds of sunrise, tie-dye in the clouds, capricious and wild, drifters that shift with every whispering zephyr, and the slender spine of a willow reed bends beneath the landward winds, but the rock abreast of that restless creek sits tight, no rolling stone, just a gray, white, and upright berth gripping the earth, growing evergreen moss, sunshine embossed, and tossed like a healing golden fleece across the sedimentary balcony seat here on the sideline. End poem.
Ding dong.
I can just see her sitting by that rock and creek and writing this, you know, with her hair all wild and in the wind, and her pen going faster than, you know, than she can stop. I mean, it's just, she has a way of just becoming part of the environment that she's writing about. And you take the first stanza. In this first stanza, look how rich it is in imagery and kind of unexpected things. Just, you know, the flying color wheel, you know, chameleon sky, these things just popping like wildflower color in your mind as she's reading. It's like almost like every word has something else to offer, and gosh, and you know, in the way poetry is written to be able to winnow to just the right words and no more, you know, that's one of her real strengths is both that, in, you know, painting the picture of the environment and then but doing it in the cleanest way possible.
Sorry about that, Mark. Thank you, Hatter. Trying to let us know that AP Taylor is in the room. Hello, AP. Welcome to the show. Upon Rains, AP.
Hi, Deb. I finished my multiple board meetings, and so I thought I would rock up late as it is and say hello.
Hey, AP.
I'm very glad you did.
It's like you've been here, though, but we've been hearing you.
I know. Well, I didn't think I'd be here. So, you know, I thought, well, I better give you some sort of, you know, recordings if I'm not going to be there. But then, you know, I sort of rocked in at the last minute. So there you go.
That's great.
Absolutely. Well, here's where we are. I have a poem on the board, one of the other honorable mentions, and Sweet's going to read that for us. And then we have one last honorable mention, and we have a poem that Crystal added. And if AP will grab the one he put in the competition, we should have just enough to close out. So Sweet. Can you go ahead and read that next one, please?
Yes, I will. This is actually done by one of my favorite painters. I've written to two of his paintings. So this is Over the Marsh by Art Poet, written to a painting by Scott Heinstein. Heisten. Okay. The snow geese call flying in ritual V over the marsh filled with silver fish. In a warm winter breeze, in warm winter breezes, dance mangroves. Their roots plait in a river of grasses. Bulbous mantides dine on tender flora, blind to the floating Leviathan's armored eyes, patrols the waters rough in the wind, sparkling like diamonds, reflect cerulean skies onto the towering gravid clouds. A shallow channel runs to the sea on the rhythm of tides conducted by the contour waltz of the moon and sun past these wetlands, harboring
teeny
life and poem.
Thank you, Sweet.
Wow. That was an excellent read. Excellent read. You know, the one word that jumped out at me on this poem that I really made me reread it again and really try to understand its meaning more fully was, well, the phrase towering gravid clouds, you know, this, the idea that they're pregnant with this, with life, literally ready to, you know, give it to the world. And I think it, when a poet can find words like that, that really bring, you know, this, you know, some real clarity, in a unique way to a poem, that's when I think it's hitting it on all the, you know, on all cylinders, you know. And I think that's, you know, this poem has that. It has a real strong command of diction. It's not overly done. It's just done in just the right way.
Tom?
Yeah, it's both description and, in a sense, a telling. Not so much a telling of a story as a telling of a space and a time and a being in the moment. So it has its own snapshot quality of just, you caught this moment, this time, right now, right here, and then it'll be gone. Mm-hmm.
Looks like Deb's changing her phone. I think she ran out of power, so Deb will be right back.
Okay.
What item?
Hatter.
Oh,
hello.
Hey, AP. How are you?
Hey, did you want to say a few words about that poem while Deb comes back?
Actually, I'm guarding the back door.
Am I?
Oh, well, if that's the case.
Does nobody hear me? Hello?
We can.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I think Tom was finishing up a comment.
No, no, it's not that. It's just it's the second time tonight that my phone went totally blank and I couldn't hear of any of you. And then I thought maybe you guys couldn't hear me.
Okay.
It was just,
no,
but,
we couldn't hear you either.
It happens sometimes.
That's mean.
Okay, so here's where we are. I put the poem on the board by Crystal Hope. It's called Wishing on the Canal. And I will read that for her, and then we'll have Sweet read the last honorable mention winner. So click on Crystal, please. This is Wishing on the Canal by Crystal Hope. So here we go. Pollen. Dancing pirouettes on statue bridges. Whispers of honeysuckle pine brush the dewy sunshine on all beckoning a golden guava sunshine. Basil branches bloom on a crimson canal rippling with bubbles of wishing spoon. Wooden planks stitched with cracks, painted with olive moss and grass tinted in echoing tracks. Rivers whistle with bird calls of autumn's dying breeze, whirling the leaves, chirping drawl. Umber soil dampened with trembling tides of wishes slowly abandoned and poem.
Well, this is a real fun structure, you know, with the, these tersets with the rhyme on the, you know, the first and the third throughout, and then the non-rhymed in between. And it really reads beautifully, has a cadence to it, a lot of musicality in it. And another thing I really liked about this poem was, especially, I guess, the second last stanza really stands out for me in this way. It's holding on to a concept. So the concept of that is sound, and she has rivers whistle. I mean, whoever says rivers whistle, what a great phrase, with bird calls of autumn's dying breeze whirling, the leaves chirping draw. So all of those sounds kind of just swirling around in that one little terset. You know, that kind of writing is really dynamic. And so, and as it cascaded down, you really kind of got a feel for the environment, and but without, you know, overstating it, and you can end this thing with the trembling tides of wishes. So then it moves out of the environment into the human condition with the word wishes, really. I like that.
No, I let someone else comment.
Sweet, will you comment for that one and read the last honorable mention for us?
I will do that. Well, first off, Krista always has a great way of words and imagery and doing all of those beautiful things. Hey. Love the painting she picked because I love the canals down there anyway. But I think my favorite thing is the way she talks, like whispers of honeysuckle, just river's whistle, bird calls, like how she brings in sounds and like kind of makes it move and dance and whirling and, you know, echoing. So she has a lot of sound to it. So she makes it come alive. It's not just colors or you know, it's dancing. It has a movement to it, and I like poems that move and dance. She does a really great job doing that.
Great comment. Thank you.
Oh, now I got to read. Got to do two things at once, Deb. Don't do that to me. All right. Natalia and Griva. I hate names. This even was by Kudaza Mahagwa. Anybody want to help me with that name? I'd be really grateful.
Kudsai Mangwa.
There you go. There's my Lord. Way to be.
Excellent.
I need to be there for you. From where I sprout, I am the enrapturing myth to many, a mirage like the smiling clouds. I dress in undiscovered colors that only the celestials look on. For my own delight, I shall remain as mysterious as forest corridors. I am one being as impish as the wind, yet as the stillness of the day, I am revered and moved in your misty mountains. Immortal, I remain in your art, moving across the glittered remembrances, never truly finding my place in the universe, but make the greatest joy in youthful play. Look for me one day, in between, silence, in poem. Oh, I really like that poem.
Yeah. Amazing read, too, sweet.
Yeah. Isn't that a brilliant last stanza? I mean, you know, never truly finding my place in the universe, and then look for me one day in between silence. That's, you know, just brilliant.
And AP was ready to comment on that one.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful presence to it. I agree. The last stanza in particular, the immortal I remain in your art, moving across your glittered remembrance. It's a beautiful, beautiful set of words. And when it gets to the end, look for me one day in between silence, there's some wonderful thinking that's gone into getting inside that artwork and getting inside the piece and actually providing words that many can relate to in different ways.
Excellent comment. Now, believe it or not, we did it. We got every poem on the board, and we'll have AP read us the last one of the night in a moment. But I would like to one more time just shout out to the poets who didn't respond. And that, again, is Old Faithful, In Luck Bud, Kay Sparrow, Fran Marie, and Mindful. If any of you hear the show or get the message later, we'd be happy to have your poetry on one of our other shows. Just get a hold of one of the board members and we'll hook that up for you. Wow, I can't believe, I mean, that flew by. And Mark, you were spectacular. You did a fabulous job.
You're good at every statement there. thank you very much.
We all have our skills. No, come on, you got to take credit. Between the hard work of the contest and the great job you just did with the show and the absolute, I mean, everybody's feeling the joy in your voice. It's contagious, the excitement. And I think Tom nailed it when he said, after doing this for 10 years, hearing you still get this much joy and excitement out of the poetry, it is a beautiful thing. And, I mean, obviously, it's a labor of love for you, and it shows. So before I let you decide what you would like to say to close out the show, let's hear another beautiful poem from the Winter Park Painting.
Okey-doke. Well, this is following the canal sleeve. It's interesting that Crystal and I chose the same image from Orit Reuben. And my one goes a little bit like this. The sun glints orange in tight sugar swirls, off sandstone wild horses do prance, olive trim glances while amber unfurls, daubs of purple paired with indents. Periwinkle canopies delivering shade, dapple the curved span falling below, shadowy crescents in space cascade, slurry oscillates onto the canal in flow. Ebon shimmer into the ocean flees, branches display wares on sky blue, the gold leaves of overhanging trees, and a gentle waltz of light left to brew. Afternoon framed by a bridge at noon, towards a period of heat does it sigh. Portrait captures the fragrance of June as an oven browns a cake by and by. Upon the sun hiding, tones seek to flee, lest Eve's palette to turn darker in hue. Violet shadows hover towards the sea, a brace of stars quick stepping through. End poem.
What great cadence and rhythm that poem has. You know, it just sings. You know, and you know, when you write in form, and you have to put, you follow that form, and it can be forced, or it can just be natural and have this kind of lovely role and lyrical nature that allows you to just kind of, maybe the word is dance with it. And I think that's what is happening in your poem. It didn't miss a beat, although I think right towards the end, I think you intentionally break the beat, and that's to emphasize, and I think that was another smart thing to do. I didn't hear how you read that right, because I'm not reading it. I don't see it in front of me, but
yes.
A lovely poem, really. Thank you for entering. Thank you.
No, thank you, Mark. Thank you for your comments. It's appreciated. Thank you.
Actually, I think that this one, AP, is one of my favorites of yours from the contest. I thought it was extremely lyrical, and I remember that you were so excited that this sample art it's remained in the contest from the very beginning.
Because you
were so moved by it. And you know, something else, Mark, I meant to, Sweet Pea just reminded me of something, because she just told me that the poem that she read about the rabbits a moment or two ago is on the front page. And it reminded me of something that I should have said earlier. I don't know if you're aware, but every year when you do your contest, Mark, there's a staggering amount of poems that were written for your contest that get chosen for the front page. And that's a compliment to the level of poets that enter your contest. You were saying, you know, about you read books and you read the poems here, and the poets are just as brilliant, if not more brilliant, than some of the classic poets. And I wholeheartedly concur with that thought, because it's like the level of brilliance on all the radio shows that I'm here, but I'm kind of partial to the people in a team of voices, but, you know, why wouldn't I be? But no, it's just, we rub off on each other and we learn from each other, and our poems get better every year, every show, and by the time we get to your contest, I'll say this for the last time tonight, I don't envy you or the judges when you pick winners here. Really?
Well, see, the smart thing I do is I host it, so I don't have to judge it. But what I do, I can't believe I said that, do twice. But what I do is I read every poem and comment on every poem, and because I think they deserve that. Not only that, but I just love reading them. You know, understand that these images that the artists are painting are images that are in my backyard, not necessarily yard, but, you know, metaphorically. And so some of the places, hey, I might have had my first kiss there, or, hey, you know, that was where we got drunk that night. You know? And so there's a lot of meaning that filters in. Plus, I know all, you know, all the stuff I know about Mr. Polashek and how that and what his life was all about and what it meant. To overcome the obstacles he overcame to be the great artist that he was, you know, and see that translated into art and into poetry. It just gives me such, I can't tell you, it's a beautiful thing.
Oh my goodness. So before you close out, I Heather would like to share. It's good. I thought you were grabbing something else. But go ahead and show us Putin's knot.
Which one did you want me to put up?
No. Usually you like
that
to bring out, I think
up.
You have one.
Okay.
You have one for Jeff
Tarrarack.
And I thought it's all good.
Yes, oh, that's a long one. I took a verse and made it worse. That day it came, there came a rain that hid the tears that fell. Cloudy skies that watched me cry knew me, oh, too well. Stepping back to view the past, I found myself times two. Voices heard in a spoken word, I imagined it was you. Remember when the world was close and nothing was too far away? I took a verse and made it worse, and it remains that way today. Search to find a lasting rhyme and tell me what you see. Words in puzzled ending rhyme that dreams of being free. That's it.
That's like personifying a poem. It's great. That's a lovely poem.
Hatter's got this cadence that we're all jealous of too. This one's full of emotion. Search to find a lasting rhyme to tell me what you see. Words in puzzled ending rhyme that dreams of being free. Always awesome. And I was just going to say, I think Winston read this for you last time. Great share, Matter.
Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
And how about we have Sweet, tell us about Thursday, and AP, tell us about Friday, and then Mark will close out the show for us.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, it is Sweet Discussions, Open Poetry. Come sit by the fire, tell me what you want to tell me. It can be love, it can be horror, it can be Christmas, it can be New Year's Eve, it can be Easter. I don't care. It's all about you. Come on by, Open Poetry.
And that's 10 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Friday.
Well, you would go a long way to get any closer to a program than Sweet and Dour, which is our program on Friday. And we are talking about, of course, one of the great novels in the history of writing, which is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And we have 12 quotes that you can write to. You can write to something else if you want, The Hitchhiker's Guide. The whole book's full of quotes. Let me tell you, there's 350 pages, all full of quotes. But we've got 12 of them. And I'd encourage you to pick them up and make them your own. And Sweet has chosen six, and I've chosen six, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. But the answer, of course,
six
will
always
be 42.
42. Don't panic.
No, that's going to be a fun show, I can tell already. All right, well, we are at the point where we are down to moments, and I would like to thank you guys for calling and helping read. I would like to thank AT for the recordings, and I would like to re-congratulate everybody who placed a medal in this contest. I look forward to coming back after the April event and having another fun night with Mark, and he'll tell you a little bit more about that and close us out. Mark, what an amazing job you did. You do. We appreciate you. The hard work is phenomenal, and the joy you get out of it shows that it's worth every bit. Appreciate you, and the mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you. Actually, on behalf of the Album Palaszczuk Museum and Sculpture Gardens and the Kerouac Project, I want to thank you for giving your time to the Winter Park Paintouts International Poetry Contest. Team of Voices has been sponsoring that for several years now, offering us points and really helping to make it possible. These moments like this where we can actually come together and share the words and joy of poetry and celebrate art along with that is really what makes it all very meaningful to everyone, including me. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Right back from the bottom of mine. Amazing show. And Mark, I have a treat for you on the way out. We are going to close with a poem that was actually put to music. I don't know if you remember the poet Shall Even Die, but she wrote the music, and she is the singer in the song you're about to hear. And the song you're about to hear is a poem written by none other than Jane Hatter. So on that note, I will say thank you, everyone. Love and respect. Great show. And we will be sung out of here by an amazing little ditty. Here we go.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, trying to run away, I'm watching you grow.
Thanks, Deb.
Let's take a look on board.
Good night.
Portraits of
Queen. Good
night,
I love
everyone.
That
love
is that cool
you
or what?
I know, isn't that cool? Thank you, Sweet. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, AP. Thank you, Tom. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.